podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. We are also in partnership with Manscaped, male grooming products redefining the gentleman. You can get 20% off plus free shipping on all Manscaped products from manscaped.com by using the code ZEROPUCKS, all caps, all one word. Personally, I recommend the Performance Package 5.0. You get the lawnmower, the weed whacker, the crop preserver, some nice aftershave lotion, as well as free boxer shorts and a little travel bag. It's a fantastic value, really, for the amount that you get in there. And with your extra 20% off, it's pretty hard not to go for it yourself. So yeah, make sure you use the code ZEROPUCKS, all caps, all one word, and you'll get your discount there. And we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sports podcast network in Europe. We're absolutely thrilled to be a part of it as well. You can find all details about our podcast and all other sporting podcasts that are on their network on their website. Welcome along. This is episode 83. I'm Ben, and we are going to be sitting down today with Rachel Cartwright, Team GB, Queen Bees. The women's hockey world is absolutely flying, and obviously at least once a month we like to shine a little spotlight on it by having a guest on or multiple guests from be it clubs or international, hopefully a little bit more people from around the world as well. Obviously in last season we spoke to Sham Jackson, who does occasionally make the GB squad. I know she's playing college hockey in New York now, so she might be a little bit snowed under with that. But yeah, really, really great to shine a light on it, and I really do hope you enjoy this chat. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is Rachel Cartwright.
That don't impress me much. So yeah, got the brains of heaven, got the touch. Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're alright. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night. That don't impress me much.
Zero Pucks Given in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, Manscaped Male Grooming Products and the Sports Social Podcast Network. Absolutely delighted to welcome Queen Bee and GB National Rachel Cartwright. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Looking forward to it.
You are very, very welcome. It's something I really enjoy doing at least once a month, to put a little focus on the women's game because it's growing so fast globally, particularly with the introduction of the PWHL in America. But it's also growing really fast over here. And you've not long come back from Denmark with Team GB for the Four Nations. Probably not as successful as you would have liked, but from the pictures, it's always a good trip with you girls.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think last year we started having a Four Nations as a women's program. Like the under-18s had it for a little while, but it was something we were really keen to do, of have more competitive international games, you know, in previous years. And, you know, no slight on it, but we were playing junior boys teams, you know, kind of anyone we could play against. And it wasn't matching the competition we were going to play. It's just a completely different game. So the fact that we're now having those international friendlies is great preparation for us. It's against three teams who are ranked higher than us, so it's not easy, but it's great preparation for us. So yeah, would have liked to have got a win under our belt there, but you know, there was lots of learnings that we can take from it. And the last game against Denmark, who were ranked I think 10th in the world, we finished 3-2, which was pretty decent for us. We were happy with that result. I think it ended on a high note at least, and yeah, lots to take into March when we go to Latvia.
Yes, because that squad's just been announced today. Congratulations, you were selected to go to Riga for the World Championships. Yep. And obviously you had the sort of the trip to Korea for another sort of, that was another World Championship sort of group setup, wasn't it, last year? And I managed to watch all of those games because they were streamed on YouTube. It was a little bit more difficult with the Denmark one. There was some sort of Danish website where I had to pick a Danish team, and then they tried to charge me. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep up to date on Twitter with this. But they're very attritional, aren't they, the games? They're so physically contested, which consider it, I mean, call me ignorant, I've not managed to go and see them live yet. Is it full check-in?
No, so it's not. It's kind of confusing, I'd say, at the moment, because you've obviously got, like you mentioned before, the PWHL, who are check-in in Sweden. There's check-in. So, yeah, not officially check-in in the IIHF-sanctioned tournaments, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point that changes. So definitely more physical. It's a completely different level, obviously, to what we play here in the UK. And yeah, just a completely different competition, but it's definitely more physical. We could feel it as well when we're playing.
Is it something you would welcome?
Yeah, I think so, because I would say at the moment, it's just such a grey area. And even for the refs, I think it's difficult, to be honest, of what is a hit, what isn't. I think girls that are taller get really penalised as well in our games, and that's not fair either. If you're small, you get away with a lot. So I think if check-in was brought in, I think it would help. But there's a lot of learning and probably, well, re-education for people. Because, like, for me, for example, I've not played check-in hockey since I was an under-18 in boys. Mm. So I think if it happens, it has to be done smartly and with, like, the right process in place. But I think it, you know, I wouldn't say no to it. I think it could be good for the game.
Yeah. But as I said, they are just, they're so attritional and so competitive.
Yeah.
And something I actually really enjoy about women's sport in general, be it hockey, football, boxing, because the pace is that little bit slower than the men's, you can really appreciate the skill level. And you have that little bit more time to control the puck, look up and find the pass. And I think it makes it so much more exciting to watch, because it's not quite as frantic.
I agree with you. And I think, I'm not sure if you've caught many of the games, but, like, you watch the PWHL, and I think it's amazing how well they've done in terms of the followership they've already got. The people are going to watch it. And like you said, I think people are really getting behind women's sport, even the football here, right? After the Euros, especially with the win, the women pack out the stadiums, don't they, every time they play? And even the club teams as well. Like, I think Arsenal sold out the Emirates this weekend. So it just goes to show, I think, more and more people are getting behind it, which is amazing, and about time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just seen today, actually, that the Chelmsford Cobras and Pythons have put a kind of just a call out to anybody who can help them financially get the equipment for them to live stream their games. I don't think they're saying they want to charge people for the live stream. They just want to make it available. It's something I discussed. I was on 4000 and Counting with Nikki Watt last week. It's not quite out yet. I'm not sure when it's out. But I said that, for me, across the board, men, women, juniors, start getting it out there on YouTube, and then more people can watch the sport.
I could not agree with you more. I would love for us to do that, and probably gives us a little, you know, kick to figure that out as well. Like, I know.
Is that at the Bees?
The Bees. Like, last year we were, you know, trying to get, we were doing a bit of streaming on, like, people's phones, but the quality is just, it's not good enough. You know, like, shaky camera and stuff. You need, like, something proper. And the Whitley Bay Beacon, so the female team there, they have a good setup. I don't know if they use the Warriors camera, but theirs is pretty professional. And if it's free, every team in our league should have it, I think, to be honest. And I know the EIHA gave out cameras to, like, the juniors and stuff, but it doesn't seem that we have access to them. So I think, I would love for more people to be able to get the games being streamed and free, because, like you said, it needs to be accessible. It's not there. You know, we don't even charge people to come watch in the rink, but I think if it was on YouTube or whatever streaming platform, it just helps people get into it, doesn't it? Opens it up to more and more people as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you're with the Queen Bees in the Elite League of the Women's Division over here. How is your season going?
Pretty good so far. I think we're 10 games in, 8 wins, 2 losses. We had a doubleheader the week before we went to Denmark, and we beat Solihull, who are, I would say, our closest rivals for the title. And then, unfortunately, lost on the Sunday to Kingston. So I think season's going really well. It feels like we are stronger than last year as a group. You know, it's gelling. We've got a lot of young players. We've still got a lot of older players as well, but it feels like we've had a good start to the season. Still a lot of hockey to play because we're only halfway through. But yeah, pretty happy with where we are. We've got a big couple of games coming up because we've got Solihull, I think, twice in the next month. And they're, to be honest, like game-defining. Season-defining games. But I have to be honest, like every game has been close. Like there's no blowout score lines that I see really across the league, which is good as well. Like it just shows it's getting more competitive as well. And, you know, I think it was either us or Solihull, you kind of go almost the full season unbeaten, which is not what we want because it's not fun. It's not exciting for anyone to be like that. So, yeah, the season's definitely, I think, been more competitive across the board, which is great.
Yeah. And with that GB setup, I mean, there's names in there. That if people that will see the squads come out, there's names that are in there all the time because you guys are playing at the top level that you can't hear. You've even got people playing out in Sweden, America, Canada and stuff that can make their way over. The room with that GB ladies, it just seems to be an incredible energy. I take it most of you have all kind of grown up together and playing the sport.
Yeah, definitely. I think probably as well because from it's probably the same with the guys, I'm not sure, but I think, you know, because we've got that smaller pool of players as well, you just know everyone, don't you? So, yeah, there's girls on that team that I've known for 15 plus years, which is crazy actually when you think about it, but it's a really good vibe. You know, we had fun in Denmark. It was a short trip, but when we go to Latvia, there for 2 weeks, so you spend so much time with each other. And even last year in Korea, just had a great time. So, yeah, very good vibe. Some new faces coming in this year, which is exciting as well. But, yeah, always a fun time with Team GB.
Do you see anyone in that 18s that's looking like they're going to push their way into that senior squad?
I mean, I guess we've got three of the girls who went to the under 18 World Championship last month as well. So we've got Ellen, Ellie, and Ruby. So that's exciting. So it's good to see that the younger players and girls are getting that opportunity. But I think there's other girls within that team that are, you know, knocking on the door as well. Lily, for example, on our team, just thinks such a smart player. You know, you could probably name quite a few that, you know, could be in contention, but it's tough. It's, I think even like, not even just considering the under 18s, but I think there's a lot of competition, you know, across the squad. You know, you probably see some names that are not on that list and you think, wow. So, you know, I think there's just huge competition, but those under 18 girls are just getting better and better, which is amazing to see and great for the setup as well.
And does that keep you on your toes, you know, like yourself and Jodie and Ellie and that, they've been there for quite a while?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the more it's like that, the better, because it just shows we're getting more competitive. And, you know, we got promoted into 1B last year was our first year, and if we want to keep moving up, we need to have the strongest possible squad. So yeah, keeps us on our toes, and that's how it should be. So it just shows that we're making progress and moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we saw a couple of weeks ago, I think it might have been last week, that the men sort of took the next step into Olympic qualification for I think it's Turin, isn't it, 2026?
Yeah, it's in Italy. I'm not sure where, but yeah.
How's that looking for the women? Are you close to your Olympic qualifiers?
So I believe the first round for the women is in December. We don't know who the group is yet.
Is that going to be defined by sort of how you do in the World Championships?
You know what? I think it will have already been defined on last year's rankings. To be honest, it feels like it's come round so quick because we had the Olympic qualifiers in Nottingham a couple of years ago, so I can't believe we're already kind of at that stage already. But yeah, that'll come up very quickly. Generally we're playing against, you know, maybe two teams that are ranked higher than us, maybe one below, but anything goes, you know, when you're playing three matches against a couple of teams. So would love to see us progress to the next stage as well when that comes.
Yeah, that's going to be a game changer if both the men and women can make it. And this is my, I don't know who would be listening, but this is my rally cry to the BBC. Start putting this sport on the telly. It's napped me off in the past couple of weeks that they've announced that they're starting to show Super League rugby. Who watches that? I mean, you are from Merseyside.
No, I personally don't. I've never been a rugby fan, so I don't watch that.
Yeah. And they've recently said they're going to be starting to show the Super League netball as well, which Sky have had for a little while, and now I think the BBC are muscling on it. But ice hockey is the most watched indoor sport in this country. And the women's side of it is drastically catching up with the men's very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And as we said earlier about streaming it on YouTube and whatnot, this needs the support. So when it comes down to your Olympic qualifiers, they shouldn't be making you choose, you know, you've got a club game or the whatnot, so you're depleting club sides. All the eggs in one basket. Let's get you guys to Italy in 2026.
And I agree with you on the BBC getting involved. Like you said, other sports on there, that they have the women's Super League on there as well now, so that's accessible. And at the end of the day, if people don't see it, they can't get involved, can they? They can't get exposed to these new sports. And like you said, it's got such a big following from the men's elite league and all, you know, the other leagues as well. People will watch it. People love ice hockey. I would love to see them get more behind it, especially as, you know, now the men as well are in the top division and they've got that opportunity at the Olympics. You know, I'm sure the BBC will start showing it if they get to the next round as well, won't they? So let's see.
Yeah. Normally late to the party, aren't they? But yeah. On exposure to the sport, what was your first exposure to the sport then? What got you started?
My dad's job moved to Canada. So he got an opportunity in Toronto with his work. So we ended up living in Oakville. This is when we moved there, when I was about five. And my next door neighbors were the same age as my brother and I. And they said, you know, they're going to start hockey. Do you guys want to start? And that's basically how I got into it. So started over in Canada. We stayed there for about five, six years. So I did move back to the UK at 11. But I guess you go live in a hockey mad country like Canada and it's just pretty natural, isn't it? So from playing there and, you know, watching the NHL and stuff like that, that's how I'd got into it. I'll be honest, I think if I'd have lived in the UK because my family weren't involved in any way, I don't know if I would have played hockey. So it was a kind of fate, really, with that move to Canada.
Yeah, so you were like a ringer when you came back then.
It was pretty weird because I'd grown up there where they, you know, everyone plays hockey, and I played for an all-girls team to come back and be the only girl playing on my, you know, under-12s boys team, which was pretty odd, to be honest, you know, when you're so used to not, you know, playing with guys. It just became normal pretty quickly, to be honest.
What was your local rink when you came back?
Deeside.
That was Deeside.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I played my junior hockey and then played women's for Hull. Moved on to London and started playing for Bracknell. Well, what was Bracknell
what
now?
What was Bracknell, yeah, now.
Yeah, now it's Slough.
Now it's Slough, yeah. There's an awful lot of teams playing out of that rink now. There's I find it an absolute premium.
Yeah, I know. Well, we train at 10:30 at night on a Thursday, which is pretty brutal. So I definitely feel it.
So were you unfortunate enough to be a Maple Leaf then?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Kind of comes with living where I lived. So yeah, I used to go watch them with my dad. They definitely weren't very good when I was there. Well, they were okay, I guess, but not amazing. Now they have, you know, probably arguably one of the best players, don't they, in the league? But can't seem to get past the first round. So.
And then if they do, they choke still in second. It's a painful existence.
It is. It's painful being a Leafs fan.
Yeah. So what, I'm not going to ask you your age because a gentleman should never. So what year was that you were living out in Toronto?
Moved there in 99.
Oh, cool. So, and you were out there for sort of 5 years.
Yeah.
That was my first exposure to NHL hockey. I was in Toronto in 2002.
Yeah.
But I was 17 at the time, so a little bit older.
That was first exposure, to be honest, being over there. And it's just hockey mad, isn't it?
In Canada. Absolutely love it. And it's understandable why. I think actually, if you look back at the Oranges, it was actually British soldiers out there that invented the sport.
Yeah, it's crazy, the British roots and the fact that we've won a gold medal in ice hockey at the Olympics. Just crazy 30, to me.
36, I think, back then. Well, 36 to 2026, that's God, that's an awful lot of years. 90 years, there could be an omen in that somewhere.
Yeah. Another appearance would be pretty amazing, to be honest. So, yeah.
I mean, especially now. I mean, this era of technology, especially online technology, it can just make it blow up so quickly. And a lot of the women's sides actually really do take advantage of that, particularly with like TikTok and the like. Do you partake in that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you know what? We do sometimes. I have to say we've been a little bit slack. But it's very good having some of the younger girls on the team. So like Lily, for example, not to name drop her again, but she's all over TikTok, so she's always got some ideas. So does Ellie Wakelin. So I would say from Queen Bee's point of view, we need to get a couple more TikToks out. But Sophie, the media manager for GB, she came to Denmark with us, and I'm sure you saw she does so much good stuff on TikTok, which is great. And it's just a little bit more lighthearted, isn't it, and fun. So I love that side of it. I think it's great because you probably, and same for just any team, not just ours, but you get to see, I guess, players' personalities a little bit more, don't you, and just a little bit more of that, you know, behind-the-scenes type of content, which is cool.
Yeah, and I think everyone loves the behind-the-scenes stuff. I know Ellie's been doing the TikTok for the Romford Buccaneers a lot recently.
Yeah.
I'll give her another shout-out. She just made 100 games for them this weekend, Don, which is incredible, I think, for a woman playing in the men's league. And she, the amount of people, when they see her playing for the first time, they're like, is that a girl? And if they're sitting near me, I'm like, trust me, if they hit her, she will hit them back twice as hard.
No, that's huge achievement for Ellie, and she's still very young, so I'm sure she's got, you know, at least another 100 games in her, if not more. So that's really exciting for her.
Do you play with men still at all? I know you said you play junior boys, but...
No, I don't, to be honest. I just haven't since I came out of the junior program. I haven't played it. Right now I don't really have a desire to. I think it's really good though for some of the girls, just getting more ice time as well, and playing at a, you know, different level, physically challenging as well. So there's obviously a couple of the girls on GB that do that as well. So Ellie, Abby, playing for Chelmsford, a couple of the girls up north as well. So I think it's a great opportunity, and you're probably aware, like for the female clubs, we just don't get enough ice time for training. No. So I think if we want to keep up as a nation, like at an international level, like something needs to change, because obviously you've got the girls abroad in, you know, whether it's in the US or in Sweden, they're probably on the ice 5 times a week as well. So I think that's something, you know, and that's the feedback we give, is we need more ice time, I think, to, you know, really compete. You know, if we want to move up to the next level, we need that more ice time.
Yeah. At the end of this month, I'll actually be joined by Danny Myers, who's got the Ozone down in Bracknell. And I think that's a terrific facility. I think if they were to pop up all over the country, that would drastically help it. Have you done anything down at the Ozone?
Yeah, so probably a couple of years ago was our club, the Queen Bees, we did have an ice slot there. And it's amazing because you just work on different skills as well there, you know. It gives people opportunity to go on the ice more. We've done a camp there with GB as well. So I think it's amazing what's going on there. And, well, you know it as well, like just ice time, so difficult to come by. And it's something we could all do with more of. So, yeah, love what he's doing there. And I think it'd be great if there was another one of them up north and, you know, more kids could access it as well, to be honest.
Yeah, there is. I mean, I work all over the country and there is just empty warehouse units everywhere.
Yeah.
That you could. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, and it undoubtedly costs a lot of money to set up. But that's where if the government were to back the sport, especially if it had that Olympic qualification behind it, that would give them a reason to sort of start them popping up. So yeah, really looking forward to talking to Danny. He's obviously got a great history in the game, and I'd like to hear his point of view actually of having players like yourself down there, and just seeing the growth of the game from that point of view.
I mean, you know, it's been such a long time since I was a junior, but I think the importance of that skill work as well in skating, that you can get like that valuable dedicated time to it there, is just amazing for people to get better, get to the next level. So yeah, it's really cool. And also the like the 3-on-3 tournaments that they do is also fun, and I know they reach a lot of people with them as well, which is cool.
Yeah, that kind of had its own sort of little tournament, didn't it, over in I think it was in Korea again, actually, just recently, where GB guys went out there and played a 3-on-3 tournament.
Yeah,
it's an exciting form of the game, isn't it? It's almost like cricket when it's got all these different formats that you can play it in.
Yeah, exactly. And at the Summer Olympics, they do 3-on-3 basketball. So I think it's trying to come up with different, like you said, exciting ways to get people involved in the sport. So it was cool to see that at the Youth Olympics. I wonder whether they'll bring it to the actual Olympics at some point as well. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, although that'll probably annoy the Americans and the Lithuanians because they then can't play it the way they like to play it.
Exactly.
But at least with the Americans, then, if they go to the Olympics, they can actually win a world championship rather than just winning something their own country plays and calling it a world championship.
Yeah, no, very true, very true.
So with the rest of the season then for the Queen Bees, as you said, it's gone okay so far, sort of 10-2.
Yeah.
Are you looking at league title, playoffs, another successful one? Because it's been successful for the last few years at the Queen Bees.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think goal every year for us is to win the league. We haven't won it for a couple of years. We won playoffs last year, which was amazing. But for me, winning the league, winning playoffs is definitely our goal. It's within our hands. We need to have, we need to be on our game every game now, to be honest, finish the season strong. But yeah, that's in our minds, our target. Our season keeps running very, very long, which needs to change. So we'll be playing until June. But, that's the aim for the year. Finish the league, hopefully, first, and then go to playoffs, and win that as well.
Yeah, so obviously with the games being so few and far between, what do you do personally to keep in shape off the ice?
Go to the gym a lot, run, go on the bike. That's basically how we can stay in shape at the end of the day, is just making sure we're doing the work off the ice. So spend a lot of time in the gym. I like running as well.
That's good if you like it, at least.
I say that, I'll be like running for the first 10 minutes just thinking I can't wait to stop, but once I pass that mark, I'm into it. But yeah, I just have to spend a lot of time gym wise doing the cardio as well. We've got a really good strength and conditioning coach at GB, Sam, who is great. So we've got that support and structure of program and things. So I think that's really important, to be honest, because I'm not the type of person to go and work out what I need to do. So not having to think about that is nice. But we get a lot of kind of structure and support through him, so that helps as well when we're not getting the games for a little while. That's what I spend my time doing if we're not playing games.
Yeah, strength and conditioning is such a huge part of the game now, isn't it? It's almost just in the last couple of years alone, probably since COVID, I think a lot of people use the gym or getting fit as a sort of a mental coping mechanism during COVID. And now strength and conditioning is just like paramount.
Yeah, huge. COVID, it was really difficult, I think, for everyone, wasn't it? 'Cause it was just a shock to stop playing hockey. And I don't think we played hockey for over a year, did we? Like, there was no league for a year. I think with the strength and conditioning, it's so key, and it just, it gives you that, even if it's 2-3% better performance, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Especially with these fine margin games. So super important. And I know, I see there being more and more emphasis placed on it, at least in the UK. I'm sure, I think in other places it has been for a while, but definitely see a bigger focus, which is great.
As yet again, we're playing catch up.
Yeah.
So are you a superstitious player at all?
No, I'm like, I have no superstitions. Literally nothing. I'm just very, very, I don't want to say relaxed, but I just don't think about stuff like that whatsoever, which, is probably odd. I think I'm probably more odd that I don't have a superstition than if I did. So, yeah, no superstitions, really.
I put a little call out for questions for you, and I did something incredibly wrong, and it only went to about 10 people rather than to sort of like the wide list of followers. But one of your teammates did jump in, young Lily Endicott. wants to know how much you love your line mates at the Queen Bees.
Well, Lily's asking me that because she's my line mate. But no, I mean, you heard me earlier, like, when we were talking about some of the younger girls at GB. I love playing with Lily. She's super smart. She can finish as well. So, yeah, really enjoy playing with her. And Catherine is our other line mate who I play with at GB quite often as well. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky at Queen Bees and GB for my liney. So, yeah.
She also wants to know, how can you wash your hair so quickly? I don't have any skin in this game at all.
Well, you know, on a Thursday night, like I said, we train so late, so I want to get out of that rink as quickly as possible and get to bed, because you know what it's like when you have to wake up for work early the next day. So,
yeah.
Mastered it over many years.
Is it surely not just easier to have it shorter?
Yeah, it probably would be. Should just shave it and then, you know, wouldn't even have to worry about it.
Rachel, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about you and your career. Wish you massive good luck for the upcoming trip with GB to Riga and for the rest of the season with the Queen Bees. I'm really hoping that I'm going to be at the playoffs in Sheffield for the Elite League. So hopefully I can see some of that coming on there. So thank you once again for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No worries. And good luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
A massive thank you to Rachel for joining me on the podcast. Really interesting to talk to her, especially about her origins of playing hockey as a, you know, young kid out in Canada after moving out there. I think that's really, really interesting. And I really do hope you enjoyed it. So really, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed it, please do share it. Hop onto Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give us a little review. Send me some feedback if you like as well. It's all welcomed. However it kind of comes out, it's all welcomed and well received. So we have got one more episode coming up this week then, this weekend we've got the Britain League Cup final. The Cup final is obviously decided after the two semi-finals that were decided from the first couple of league games that everyone played against each other, counted as league and cup fixtures. So from that table, the formulated was the top four. We got the semi-finals. Now we've got the final. The Slough Jets take on the Streatham Red Hawks. Could be a chance of completing two of a possible quadruple with the Nationals final, probably even possibly five trophies for Streatham this year. But the Slough Jets have turned them over once already this year, so it's going to make for an interesting final. In the next episode, we'll be catching up with Ben Painter and with Slough Jets captain Connor Redmond. So looking forward to that as well, so you can get all excited for the Cup final for this weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow Zero Pucks Given on all the social media channels, Instagram, X, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads as well. So yeah, it's all over there. And you can subscribe, of course, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and YouTube so that you don't miss a thing. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. We are also in partnership with Manscaped, male grooming products redefining the gentleman. You can get 20% off plus free shipping of all of Manscaped's products at manscaped.com. I personally recommend the Performance Package 5.0 with the lawnmower, Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We're in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. Just use the code ZP10 upon checkout to get your discount. We are also in partnership with Manscaped, male grooming products redefining the gentleman. You can get 20% off plus free shipping on all Manscaped products from manscaped.com by using the code ZEROPUCKS, all caps, all one word. Personally, I recommend the Performance Package 5.0. You get the lawnmower, the weed whacker, the crop preserver, some nice aftershave lotion, as well as free boxer shorts and a little travel bag. It's a fantastic value, really, for the amount that you get in there. And with your extra 20% off, it's pretty hard not to go for it yourself. So, yeah, make sure you use the code ZEROPUCKS, all caps, all one word, and you'll get your discount there. And we are also on the Sports Social Podcast Network, the biggest sports podcast network in Europe. We're absolutely thrilled to be a part of it as well. You can find all details about our podcast and all other sporting podcasts that are on their network on their website. Welcome along. This is episode 83. I'm Ben, and we are going to be sitting down today with Rachel Cartwright, Team GB, Queen Bees. The women's hockey world is absolutely flying, and obviously at least once a month we like to shine a little spotlight on it by having a guest on, or multiple guests from be it clubs or international, hopefully a little bit more people from around the world as well. Obviously in last season we spoke to Sham Jackson, who does occasionally make the GB squad. I know she's playing college hockey in New York now, so she might be a little bit snowed under with that. But yeah, really, really great to shine a light on it, and I really do hope you enjoy this chat. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This is Rachel Cartwright. A massive thank you to Rachel for joining me on the podcast. Really interesting to talk to her, especially about her origins of playing hockey as a, you know, young kid out in Canada after moving out there. I think that's really, really interesting. Yeah, and I really do hope you enjoyed it. So really, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed it, please do share it. Hop onto Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give us a little review. Send me some feedback if you like as well. It's all welcomed. However it kind of comes out, it's all welcomed and well received. So we have got one more episode coming up this week then, as this weekend we've got the Britain League Cup final. The Cup final is obviously decided after the two semi-finals that were decided from the first couple of league games that everyone played against each other, counted as league and cup fixtures. So from that table, the formulated was the top four. We got the semi-finals. Now we've got the final. The Slough Jets take on the Streatham Red Hawks. Could be a chance of completing two of a possible quadruple with the Nationals final, probably even possibly five trophies for Streatham this year. But the Slough Jets have turned them over once already this year, so it's going to make for an interesting final. In the next episode, we'll be catching up with Ben Painter and with Slough Jets captain Connor Redmond. So looking forward to that as well, so you can get all excited for the Cup final for this weekend. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow Zero Pucks Given on all the social media channels, Instagram, X, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, Threads as well. So yeah, it's all over there. And you can subscribe, of course, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and YouTube, so that you don't miss a thing. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Sports Social Podcast Network.